Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, colleagues. I apologize to those in advance who I'm facing away from. Thank you for convening us today for consideration of the CD's final report, and I want to assure you again of my delegation's support for your efforts to bring this session to a successful close. We greatly appreciate your first draft report, and we support the edits that have already been circulated by both Canada and Ukraine. Mr. President, I also believe it is important to reflect on the year and the context that we find ourselves in, as the ambassador from the People's Republic of China just alluded to. I see several colleagues in the room today who recently returned from the MPT RevCon in New York. Welcome back. And I think many of us who were there or watching from afar, we worried on the way in that all of our well-known points of disagreement would be rehashed, and we would spend the month on a circular road to nowhere. Instead, we saw that amid a challenging international political and security environment, the extent to which we could find common ground in support of strengthening the nuclear non-proliferation regime was really remarkable. The negotiations were intense, but they were productive. And the United States is proud to have worked constructively and in good faith with all parties towards a consensus. Mr. President, the Russian Federation alone chose to block that consensus in a decision to stop language that merely acknowledged the grave radiological risk at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in Ukraine, the very kind of challenge the review conference was called upon to address. A nuclear power plant should never be an active war zone. It is ridiculous that anyone should ever have to say that sentence out loud. But the Russian Federation's choices brought us to that point. Its further invasion of Ukraine, its control of and dangerous military presence at the power plant, and its unwillingness to turn control of the plant back to Ukraine for safe, secure operations significantly raised the risk of a nuclear accident or incident and endanger the population of Ukraine, neighboring states, and indeed the international community. The United States reiterates our call for Russia's immediate withdrawal from the facility and the establishment of a demilitarized zone. Mr. President, I bring these issues up because it is relevant to our work in the Conference on Disarmament. As my delegation and many others have said over and over since February 24th, informal and informal meetings, Russia's aggression against Ukraine, the dangerous escalatory choices it alone has made, and its obstructionism have a direct impact on every one of our CD's agenda items. We cannot white out or erase that from the CD's history. We cannot embrace the counterfactual. We also need, though, to recognize that it is still possible to find consensus on our final report, which I note is an immeasurably easier task than negotiating the NPT final outcome document, if we all operate in good faith to accurately reflect our work this year. Mr. President, we lost someone this week who was fundamental to the cause of this conference, a man President Biden called a rare leader, one with the imagination to see that a different future was possible and the courage to risk his entire career to achieve it. So with your indulgence, I would like to close our comments today by acknowledging and mourning the passing of former President Mikhail Gorbachev. As Secretary of State Blinken said, Mr. Gorbachev was open to working with other nations, including adversaries like the United States, driven by the conviction that dialogue was in the interest of his people and all people. Mr. President, I cannot think of a more fitting concept for the Conference on Disarmament to embrace. Thank you.